Hello, and welcome to 10 Lessons Learned, where we talk to leaders and luminaries from all over the world to dispense wisdom for career, business, and life in order to make the world wiser lesson by lesson. My name is Diana White, and I am your host for this episode. Our guest today is Mark Smith. Curator of A Bigger Vision Within, Mark Smith specializes in speaking from his personal experience of trials and tribulations in life. Smith served as vice president of the Middle Atlantic Career Counseling Association and was a former Reemployment Services and Eligibility Assessment Facilitator for the Department of Labor. In those previous roles, he used his gift of sharing words of perseverance and helped individuals push forward through adversity. Currently, he is a nationally acclaimed, award-winning STRIVE, which is Support Training Results in Valuable Employees, trainer at the Center for Urban Families in Baltimore. With his podcast, The Process, he outlines and breaks down situations we all go through and offers insight on methods to weather those storms in life. Known for his clever use of acronyms with his messages, Smith gives listeners a way to remember key points as we grow forward. Mark's vision statement of your why is greater than your situation, which is a part of your process, gives us the perspective that we are always growing. Welcome, Mark.
Thank you, Diana. It's a pleasure. Pleasure to be here with you today.
I'm excited to have you here. Oh, I will tell you this. I use acronyms ad nauseum. I love analogies. I love acronyms. And as soon as I saw that about you, I was like, okay, this is going to be a great episode.
It helps paint a picture, you know, from my perspective. And, you know, we'll talk about, I'm sure, when I first got started, I said, dare to be different.
So
dare to be different.
Dare to be different. So I'm going to do something different right now. Well, it's different for you, but our listeners and viewers know. What would you tell your 30-year-old self?
We only got a short amount of time. I would tell young Mark to take the blinders off. I truly believe the weight of the world comes at the feet of our elders. And instead of thinking that you know the world the way that it should be done, listen to those who walk before you, because they've set the path, they set the stage, and they really don't want you to make mistakes. Just listen more. Listen more and talk less would probably definitely be something that I would say, tell the 30-year-old Mark.
I think that stems from, I don't know if you had this growing up in your family, that whole children should be seen and not heard. You know, some of that, there's a nugget of truth in that, because if you listen more, you learn what the elders are talking about. I love that. That's
for sure. I would listen to, you know, I go back and think about when I was a kid, I would listen to my father, who was a huge Cleveland Brown fan. Him and his friends would be in the basement, and I would park myself right before the landing to listen to everything that they said. And I find myself now when I write and when I speak, I tell stories that equate to some of the things, lessons that they were subliminally saying and want me to hear and engage and kind of make life a little bit easier for me. But so definitely take those blinders off. Take the earplugs off and just really pay attention and apply.
And I would say for our listeners and viewers that are maybe of an age where I feel like it doesn't matter what age you are, you still have some elders to listen to. But if you're of a certain age and you're trying to figure out what do they have to teach me, I know in my personal experience, there are many times where I listened, I just put in the back of my mind, I cataloged, and then something happened, and that lesson came back forward, and it just clicked, and it was full circle. So give it a chance. Don't discount it. File it away in the back of your brain. I'm not going to date myself by using the word Rolodex, but file it away. You never know when it may come back. Well, let's get started with those lessons. Lesson number one, comfort is a casualty of growth.
Man, I believe that we're creatures of habit for all intents and purposes. I always say that I get dressed the same way. I drive the same way to work. I pretty much have a routine or a pattern or what some people call a habit. I used to tell everybody all the time, if a sniper wanted to get me, they know how they'll find me on the way to work. They know which way I'm going, the time that I'm going, you know, because we all do that. But there has to come times in life where we do things a little bit different. Or I like to say, things happen in life to make us do things different. And I always equate that to back in 2018 when I was a career development specialist working for a nonprofit school. And I did the traditional things. So I, normal day, went in and give a message to the guys and girls who are getting ready to graduate and go on to their careers. And I come back into my office and hear my campus president knock on my door and tell me, I need to see you. And like all of us, man, you know, we get that rush in our heart thinking, oh, we're going to get fired. Where do we do it? What do we do wrong?
And this is it.
Yeah, this is it. So, you know, we go into the office and we find out that they're closing the school. They announced right then and there that the school was closing their doors, but not just in 3 weeks, 4 weeks, a month, a year. They're closing today. So I got so comfortable in my position that I quit growing. I quit learning. I got complacent. And that was the wake-up call that I needed to go on to do some other things, to challenge myself, to reinvent myself, to move from stagnation to progression. So yeah, sometimes when we get too comfortable, it's time to kind of force ourselves to grow, force ourselves to do something different. So we maintain that edge and we stay sharp with whatever comes our way.
I love that. I love that. I think about how when I talk to founders and I teach them how to do a SWOT analysis, SWOT, and I always talk about the fact that strengths and weaknesses are internal, opportunities and threats are external. Mm-hmm. And I think with a lot of us, what seems to happen is we do the work, we get the education, we market ourselves, we get the job, and then we go, I used my strengths to succeed. And then we forget that we really need to assess those opportunities and threats on a regular basis for our personal and professional lives, right? For growth. And so that when I read that lesson, that resonated for sure. Lesson number two, I love this one. Words lie, actions lie, consistency doesn't lie. I'll read that one again. Words lie, actions lie, consistency doesn't lie. Talk to me about that.
Well, I had to learn a long time ago through the blessing of my grandfather that you have two options. You can either show up or you can be all in, be present in the situation. And so many times I found in the younger mark, the 30-year-old mark, I did what I just needed to do to get by. I said the things that I needed to do just to appease me. I talk a lot today about living transformational versus the way I used to live was living transactional. So I talk, you know, I go back and think about the things that I said and did just to get the things that I want. How is it going to benefit me? And then I took it a step further. I said, but wait a minute, I can do something for you and I'm still going to get what I want. So I could tell you that you're great. I could tell you that I really love your product. I could tell you that this is the greatest thing in the world. I can actually take your product and carry it around with me and put it on my desk and say, hey, this is great. I love it. This is what such and such made. But am I truly being consistent in my messaging in any and everything that I do? Are you living a life of who you truly are? Or are you living a life for somebody else, not who you truly are? So, I talk a lot about that with the men and women that I facilitate and work with. I tell them, you know, you can show up at a job. And you can tell them, your employer, anything and everything they would want to do. But your employer is going to be making sure every single day that you are going to be consistent in what you do. Now, my wife used to laugh at me all the time when the first time I said this. She said, well, Mark, honey, what do you mean by words lie, actions lie, consistently doesn't lie? I said, I can tell you when you first wake up in the morning that your hair is phenomenal and you look beautiful. You wake up and you look just like Beyonce. I can go in and I get you a cup of coffee and say, you know what? Because your hair looks so good, I'm bringing you a cup of coffee and I'm going to get you flowers, my actions. But am I doing this every single day to let her know that regardless of how her hair looks, she's still beautiful? No matter if I bring her a cup of coffee, bring her a cup of water, bring her a cup of juice, or honestly, and if I don't bring her anything, she first woke up, my actions. But am I being consistent in who I am every single day? And I think that's a problem with a lot of people in life. They do what they need to do to get by, which I'm not knocking, that's what anybody does. But we're all going to be measured on the consistency that we have, the consistency that we display. My employers, individuals that know me, they know what they're getting from Mark. Mark doesn't deviate. He's the same today, tomorrow, and forever. I don't get too high. I don't get too low. I stay mid-range. And just to make sure that I can, I don't want to say I can control, but I have a grasp on what I'm going to have to deal with on a consistent basis. So, yeah, and that's what that's about for me.
And I'm glad that you brought your wife into it, right? Because if you hadn't, I was going to say, this is something that is for your professional life and for your personal life. That consistency should be across the board with everyone you interact with. Extremely important, because I've seen a lot of instances where there will be spouses, partners of successful people. And that successful person portrays a personality and an image to the world. And that significant other, which for all intents and purposes should be the most important person in that person's life, they say, that's not the person that comes home to me. And that is heartbreaking. And so when I read that lesson, I was like, I hope that it applies to everything. It's applicable to everything. And it sounds like you practice what you preach in every facet. So happy to hear that.
Thank you.
And you know what? Tell your wife, Beyonce, she did wake up like this. That's right. All right. Lesson number three. This one I love too. Building a trail is good for you. Now, I think that there are a lot of people out there that really don't understand. They don't understand what that means, to build a trail. What is that? So tell me about it, Mark.
And I'm not going to date my age. I'm just going to say years ago. Years ago. My first job, I worked for an organization in Columbus, Ohio, called Youth Conservation Corps, YCC. And Diana, I want you to think about the concept of this. This was August, July, late July, first part of August in the Midwest. So you can imagine the heat and not so much the heat, because, you know, the humidity off the charts.
Yeah.
So as 14 years old, you had to volunteer and hope to be chosen to work outdoors for a youth conservation corporation. And I did it because I wanted to, not only did I want to be involved and try to do something to give back for my community, but my football coach at that time suggested that all of us do it. All of us get in the habit of giving to working in the community and giving back. So I only selected 13 people to do it. My particular assignment was to go to a park, and they were building a walking trail that for the public, a 2-mile walking trail. All they gave us was a shovel, a rake, a wheelbarrow, and some calamine lotion. That's it. That's it. That's all you had. My point of why I bring that up and talk about building a trail is because we had to go through and clear a path to build a trail in life. And that job taught me so much about what we do growing up. Not so much building a trail or walking path. We are clearing brush, clearing debris, clearing negativity, clearing the things out of our life to help us live our best life. And all of us build that trail, or are attempting to build that trail of success every single day. It's just how you embrace it, how you immerse yourself in this opportunity or the challenges that you have. Those trails are consistently being built within mentally and physically that we do every single day. So I tell everybody that that at 14 years old was probably the most powerful, meaningful job that I had. Now, everybody says, if you only knew then what you know now, that job really shows me the power of one working together, because all you had was it was 13 of us started, only 6 of us finished. So the power of working together, the power of relying on your brother and your sister to be there with you, and the power of direction, because you show blueprints, the supervisor on the shoulders one time, and then that was it. You need to get it done. And the power of perseverance, because you got to do this every single day. This was a 6-week job, and you didn't get paid unless you completed the whole 6 weeks. So I did that every single day, 6 days a week, not 5 days, 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday from 6 a.m. to 3 p.m. every single day. And that's the most valuable lesson that I learned in my life about clearing away negativity clearing away obstacles, clearing away different things or situations that we all go through in life to get to a better place mentally, physically, and spiritually.
And so, Mark, in your opinion, how important is it, and at what age should a youth experience an epiphany like that? Should a youth go through something that challenges them like that, that it obviously has stayed with you to this day?
It goes back to where they're raised. I would say that. You know, my father really worked until he passed away. Worked, you know, 30 plus years in a manufacturing plant. You know, my mother is an educator, retired educator at a university. But they taught me the value of working. You're not going to get anything free. Nobody's going to give you anything. But take advantage of the opportunities to learn something every job that you have. And I go back, you know, and I would be remiss to say that I got it then. You know, it took me till I was probably 40 plus years old. 40. Before, I'm not ashamed to say I'm 58 years old. I'm proud to be 58 because there's plenty of individuals who aren't blessed to make it that far. So it took a while for me to really gravitate and say, hey, you are learning something all along the way. But to answer your question, I think it's value in all of our young people working 12, 13, 14, doing something that is teaching them the importance of the dollar, teaching them the importance of working hard, teaching them the importance. I mean, you always have to work together with somebody. No job is independent. Even as a CEO, you're depending on somebody else to get things done for your company to run. So you need to understand the value of working hard, consistency, and being able to push through when you really don't want to sometimes.
I agree. I was 14 when I got my first job. And being that young, and I don't recommend that for everyone, even in mm-hmm. my life, my daughter, I always told her, I worked so hard so that you could focus on school. So I didn't have her work when she was a teenager. But for me, it actually helped me shape my own personal work ethic. You know, by the time some kids were getting out of college and getting their very first jobs, I had been working for years. And for me, it was, I don't care what you're doing. I don't care what you're doing. I know my own personal work ethic because I have cultivated this for so long, gotten the feedback from leadership team members for so long. I already know what I bring to the table, even at that early age. And so I do think that it's important. And even if it's not a job, if it's a project that you're working on with a team in school, I think kids need to be exposed to that early and often. So I'm happy you said that. So number four, know the difference of circle versus cage. Now I'm intrigued. Tell me.
It all starts with being a person's self-esteem. You know, I talk a lot about the fact that although I excelled and did very well in sports, I didn't know who my own identity. So I relied on the praises and the accolades and the self-assurance from others to make me feel good. All along the way, these individuals really didn't have my best interest in heart. They wanted something from me and or they were looking at me as a pawn in their own game. And so often we find that we do things just to appease others because we want to be liked. And it's really not what that's about. So I talk a lot about identifying, and I needed it. I needed to identify who is really in my circle, the individuals who can be there with me no matter what, and individuals who are in my cage, the individuals who are holding me back, the ones who don't want to see me prosper, the ones that are telling me things to do and I buy into it, knowing it's not going to lead me down the path of progression, only rejection. So I had to learn that lesson the hard way in high school and college and in my young adult years, you know, following the crowd, going with individuals who I just wanted to be with them. I felt accolade to say I associated with XYZ when XYZ really didn't care about me and could care less about me. As any message that I could tell anybody is truly understand that who is with you all the way. You'll find out sooner or later they will uncover who they are and what their agenda is. But you know, the most important person that you can love is yourself. The most important person you can love is yourself. I tell everybody a lot of times, I ask a question, what's the most valuable piece of furniture you have in your house? And guys and girls will tell me, man, my refrigerator, my TV. I dap the guys up. I know I love my TV too. But however, you know, I tell them, you can, in today's technology, whatever you watch on TV, you can watch it on your phone. Individuals will say, you know, their kitchen table. Well, you know what? You can eat on a box. You can eat on the floor. I would say the bed. You know, many of us have slept on the floor before. My point in telling them this or going through this exercise is telling them that the most valuable piece of furniture they have is their mirror. Because once you look in the mirror, you can run from a lot of people, but you can't run from yourself. So you have to build the self-esteem, the awareness to be comfortable in loving who you are. We're all created different. We're all created unique. So it just has to get to that point. Tough, but we got to get to that point that we truly respect that individual, man, female, who it is that we're looking at when we first wake up in the morning.
I think that is one of the most powerful statements, if not in the show, at least in my episodes, because I know many people who spend a lot of money to have stuff around them that they can look at in lieu of looking at the mirror. They don't even want to look in the mirror. They want to look at the stuff. They want to look at the cars in the garage. They want to look at, you know, the game on a 90-inch TV. Everything to avoid looking in the mirror. It's not because they don't like what they see physically. Because usually, you know, if you don't like what you see physically, that's just a doctor's visit away, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's it's right. About looking into your eyes and seeing worth.
That's right.
That is amazing. Lesson number 5, being busy doesn't mean being productive. Woo, doggy.
Man, that's a lesson that I think everybody needs to embrace. You can surround yourself with so much to do. Do you know, there's only 24 hours in a day, and we pretty much can fill it up with so many things to just pick and choose our mind and pick and choose our way. But really taking the time, whether I'm, you know, I'm a big proponent of writing things down, and I'm a processor. So I sit and really think about, A, what do I want to do? B, how am I going to get there? C, what are the obstacles that are going to come in my way? D, what happens when I get there? What is my next move after that? So really putting things together in a systematic type way versus being over here. I know I have to do this. I know I want to do this. I know I want to go clean this out. I want to go do this. No, you have to be strategic about the things that you do. One of the greatest things that my dad used to always tell me all the time is, son, you better learn how to play chess and forget about the game of checkers. And anybody that's listening, everybody knows chess is a strategic game. You're consistently making moves to get to the places or levels that you truly want to go. In the game of chess, of course, you're going to try to capture the other person's king. So just because you're jumping around, moving around, doing this, going there, doing that, doesn't mean that you're being productive. If you can't, at the end of the day, write down what several tasks or even one single task that was not finished, but completed. Big difference between finishing something and completing something. If you can't write that down, then guess what? You've just been busy all day. You have not made that effort to be productive and got the things done that you needed to get done.
All right, viewers and listeners, if any of you are humbled by this statement because you see yourself in the statement, understand that Diana is right there with you. I was humbled by the statement because I fall into that trap of I feel like I've done so much, but all I was doing was being busy. Nothing was accomplished, and I wasn't being strategic. So everybody, I'm right there with you on that too. But once you know better, you can do better. We can change. Right. All right. I'm going to take a break. I'd like to take a short break to thank our affiliate partner, Audible. Audible is an amazing way to consume 10 Lessons Learned, books, and other podcasts, allowing you to build a library of knowledge all in one place. You can start your 30-day free trial by going to audibletrial.com/10lessonslearned. With Audible, you can find your favorite lesson while at home or on the go. Once again, that's audibletrial.com/10lessonslearned, all lowercase, for a free 30-day trial. The link will be in the show notes. Let's welcome back Mark Smith and continue with lesson number six. Lesson number six, I thought equals I'm wrong.
Oh, man.
Let's go.
Oh, wow. Growing up in the Midwest, football is huge. Ohio is a hotbed for football. And again, I was blessed to be a good athlete and able to play the game that I love so much and coach for years after I got done. I had one specific coach in Little League football, right? At 9 years old, 10 years old, named Wayne Mixon. Coach Mixon would tell us all the time that you need to understand in life where you're going. Understand in life. Now, I'm 9 and 10 years old, and I'm like, Coach, I'm going to the restroom. Coach, I'm going to McDonald's at the practice. Coach, I'm going there. That's not what he meant. Yeah. And what he was saying to us is that you need to be sure of what's going on. So when we would in practice or anything like that, when he would ask us, well, why did you do that? What's wrong with you? What's going on? And we would say, Coach, I thought, and he would cut us off immediately. I thought equals I'm wrong. I thought you should know. And if you've done your homework and you've done your research and you've tested everything prior to, then you know what the next steps are in life. You know what you need to do. You know who you need to connect with. You know who your partnerships that you need to align with. So having that type of thing, and I used to kill my kids out of that. The dad, I thought, and then, I know, dad. I thought because I'm wrong. You're right. And they would turn and walk away, come back. You know, dad, here's what I'm meant to say. Here's what I know. So again, it's just that redirection of self-assurance. I'm making sure that you are truly thinking ahead and you have the knowledge and the foundation and validity and things to back up what you're talking about as well.
And I think I'll add one more piece to that, especially when it comes to, you know, instilling this in your kids. It forces them to be a better communicator. It forces them to think of other words than I thought. It forces them to use a robust vocabulary to get across to you their thought process. And sure, that's amazing. That's amazing. I thought equals I'm wrong. I love it. Lesson number seven. What is a laugh?
It is the cleanser. It is what life is about. It's about, you know, you can tell a lot about a person in their laugh. Yeah. You can feel if they got a lot of stuff inside of them. You can feel if they truly are happy, carefree. And I do that a lot. I'm a big joker. I'll go tell somebody a joke and just listen. One of the trainings that I do, I give some of the men and women a contract. And the contract is a joke contract. So every day they need to come in and they need to give me 3 jokes. I don't care. I tell you, you just need to give me 3 jokes. And then what it does is it also makes, not only does it make me laugh, it puts them on task, but it makes everybody else in the room just lighten up and have a good time and just relax. So, I mean, a laugh tells a lot about a person. Life is too short not to laugh every day. There's so many things that we should take for granted that we can't take for granted because, again, it's about your own enjoyment and getting the best out of life that you possibly can. Now, has it always been my view or have I always felt that way? Of course not. I'm continuous a work in progress. We all are. You know, we're all striving to get better. But one thing that I do know and I learned, you know, at a relatively middle age is that, man, if you can laugh, really laugh hard all the time, it's amazing. Think about this. What happens when you blow on a baby's stomach? They gut laugh, right? They gut laugh. That laugh is so amazing. That laugh they just turn beet red or blush and they can't stop laughing. They'll just keep laughing and laughing and it makes us laugh. Right? That's the type of laughter that we all need to have and experience at least once a day. You got to cleanse your body. You got to cleanse your spirit. You got to cleanse your mind. And what better than a great laugh?
Truer words have never been said. I've always said laughter is the best medicine. And I've also said that, you know, when you talk about the differences in demographics, I've had people tell me, Diana, your humor is a tad dark. But I believe when you've gone through certain things, a community, a culture, a family, And if you can get through on the other side of it and laugh, somebody else may say, wow, that's, how can you laugh at something that's dark? But sometimes for me, it's the sheer joy that I survived it that makes me laugh. Mm-hmm. And if you're a close-knit family of friends or blood relatives, that laughter is shared and contagious, you know? Sure. Oh, that was a very good one. Number 8, rain is the greatest of all weather events.
Man, we have an old saying. Well, I did an old saying in Ohio. And it's, if you don't like the weather, stick around, it's going to change. I mean, everybody's said it. Everybody's heard it. And it rained, it seems like, 60% of the year. Now, I left Ohio and moved to some other places, and I realized that what it's doing, what rain is doing, is it's truly clearing debris, trouble out of our lives. It forces us to sometimes sit still and pause. Now, that can be deadly sometimes for some people, sitting still, because, you know, we all know sometimes when we're not in the right place of mind, overthinking causes problems or kills joy. But also, rain does give us a time to collect our thoughts. You know, Les Brown once said, when you open your mouth, you tell the world who you are. So sometimes that just that moment for us to pause, let that rain come down, let us regroup our thoughts, let it wash away the negativity sometimes that we have. Let it give us a chance to get ourselves back together before the sun comes back up out. And we go back out with the sun with a smile on our face. I embrace it. I used to tell my wife all the time, I hated rain because I left Ohio, moved to other places, then moved to Arizona for a while. And we all know it, 13 days a year, roughly 13 days a year, you're going to get some rain. Other than that, boop, it sun's up. You know, 4 o'clock in the morning, boop, sun's up. You don't see rain, don't get to embrace the rain. So now in the East Coast, man, I love it when it rains. I get a chance to really unwind. I think, you know, what is it? What are you teaching me, Father? What are you telling me that I need to work on today? What are you saying? What needs to be cleansed? Or who can I share a message with to help them cleanse something that's going on in their life? So rain is a great thing. We embrace it, enjoy it, and utilize it to help clear your path as well.
I think it's also subconscious too. I know I'm going to have some viewers and listeners that comment and say, not me. It's not everybody. When I say this, it's not everybody. But I've not found a person yet that, even if they don't like that it's raining because it's stopping their life, they love the smell. Mm-hmm. After, when the rain starts, after it mm-hmm. stops, mm-hmm. they love that smell. It's purifying. Mm-hmm. And I think that is not just air. I think that's also within our soul, too. So you're 100% right. Number 9. What is free?
I am a great proponent and write again on acronyms. So I used free as kind of like I don't want to say a coming out, but it's also a statement. It's really a statement. And I ask everybody, what is your definition of free, being free? What is your true definition of being free? Is it financially free? Is it a relationship free? Is it you're free to do whatever you want to do? What is free? And then what I found out is that a lot of people equate it to something versus themselves. So for me, I had to understand that free was finally releasing everyone's expectation. Finally releasing everyone's expectation. Being okay with me. Not worried about what you think of me. Not worried about anything else that's going on. Being okay with understanding the principles of what I'm supposed to be doing. Understanding that what you do is not going to affect me. I have a mission. I'm on a mission. I'm driven. I know where I need to go. And it doesn't matter what you think about it. It doesn't matter if you like it. It doesn't matter if you don't like it. That's okay. You have the option to do it or you don't. So not allowing anybody else to get into my ball game that I don't put in my ball game, not allowing individuals, quote unquote, in that cage again, allow me to release everyone's expectation. Finally, that's free. And I hope that everybody is working on or taking the appropriate steps to get to that point where it doesn't matter. You need to be comfortable and happy with the individual that you wake up and you see. That's free.
So I can share with you absolutely how much this resonates with me. So I've had trauma in my life. Who hasn't? And it took me many years to get to the point where I can be in true happiness with myself without feeling guilt, because I always felt like, how can you truly be happy? How can you truly be content when these things have happened to you? You should always carry that albatross, that cross. Mm-hmm. You should be carrying that. You shouldn't have a moment of real joy or happiness, because then you're going to negate everything that happened to you. And it took a long time for me to say, that was then, this is now, and I deserve to be happy and content and love myself. That was my freedom. That's when I found my freedom. I wrote a powerful thing.
Yeah, I wrote a series in the process, season 3, and I entitled the whole series of messages, Why Not Me?
Why not me?
Why not me? You know, I've gone through so many different things in my life, you know, personally and professionally. And I'm speaking, you know, from myself, same as you. I've gone through so many things. So why not me? Why don't I deserve the happiness, the peace, the joy and love within? You know, I told everybody my age, 40 years of my life before I can actually, what I say, sleep well. 40 years, that's a long time. That's a long time. I mean, you asked earlier, what would I tell the 30-year-old? Man, 30-year-old was just waking up. 40 years, when I got to 34, 35, 37, 38, 39, 40, that's when it set in. That's when I realized, wait a minute, there's some change. You need to remove that word transactional and move to transformation. That is the only way, Mark, you are going to move into the latter part of your life, the latter part of your existence, and be the person who you're called to be, free.
Yeah. You know, that whole trope of a midlife crisis, right? Mm-hmm. I do believe something happens to you when you get to a point in your life where you realize I've got less days ahead of me than I have behind me, right? There's an epiphany that happens there. Does everybody go out and buy a sports car? No, not really. But that knowledge that, you know, I can't double my, when you're 30, you can say, oh, I'm going to live another 30 years. You know, when you're 40, you may even be, I live another 40 years, right? You started to get past those. I'm not living to 106. You know what I'm saying?
Who wants to, really? Right. Truly, who wants to?
Right. So I have got, there are not more tomorrows that I can say, I'll be the person I want to be then. Mm-hmm. I got to do it now. Mm-hmm. And all of your lessons kind of lead to that. I love it. And we're going to end, well, not going to end, but we're going to end on your lesson number 10. And I got another question for you. But sure. Lesson number 10, it's not even a lesson. Listeners and viewers, all it says is time.
I learned the most valuable lesson, and I have a poster of it, and I wrote a series on it, on time. And I believe that time is free, but it's priceless. You can't own it, but you can use it. You can't keep it, but you can spend it. But once you lost it, you never get that 86,400 seconds. That's what we all have in a day, 86,400 seconds. You never get that back. So what are you doing with it every single day? How much do you appreciate the fact that you get to wake up? How much do you appreciate the fact that you get to open your eyes and see? How much do you truly appreciate that you have a meal that you can eat? How much do you appreciate that you have an opportunity to see somebody shake their hand? Or now we be a little careful still. We still, COVID's still out there. But how much time do you really get? How much do you really get to appreciate all the things that you have had an opportunity to do? I mean, you said it right there. I mean, I do live by that premise that I got more years behind me than I do ahead of me. So what am I going to do with it every day? I always said that I'm going to do 3 things, impact, empower, and talk about positivity. That's what I'm going to do with my time. And I ask everybody else to appreciate what you have, because it can be, all of us know somebody that has been gone in an instant. You know, you've had a conversation with somebody in the morning and that night, they're no longer with you. And I've experienced it with my father, who passed away, you know, literally 30 days after I seen him. And we had the most amazing time in Las Vegas. So you need to really embrace the fact that 86,400, once you lose it, it's gone. It's not like you can't carry that over. You can't carry that over like a bank account. You can't withdraw on it. You can't do anything. It's done. Once that clock is over, it's over. So embrace every moment that you have. Live it with peace. Live it with joy. Live it with the ones that you love. Be happy about who you are, where you're going, in the direction that you strive to be. And just be the best that you can be while you have the time.
Oops. I have nothing, kind sir. I have nothing. That needs nothing. It just, viewers and listeners, play this back several times. Take the snippet, cut it, play it every day. That was one of the most valuable lessons. All right. So, Mark, you've got some powerful lessons that you've brought us today, but with growth comes the shedding of old beliefs, old protocols, old systems. What if you had to unlearn?
That you always get a second chance. I've had to unlearn that you always get a second chance. You don't get a second chance sometimes. The first time is the most important time that you have. Opportunities don't come over and over again. Every opportunity should be treated with like it might be your last opportunity. I refuse to believe or learn or embrace the fact that I'm going to be able to do something next week. I can't do that anymore. I have to pay attention to what's in front of me with a plan of what do I want to do next. You know, my wife and I, we sit down once a month and we outline, have we completed the goals that we wanted for the prior month? And what are we looking forward to? We sit down in January, New Year's Day, we sit down and we outline our vacations and what we're going to do for the year. When we're going to see our grandkids. You know, we have grandkids in Texas and Arizona and in Florida. When are we going? You know, are we going for one? Because we want to be fair. So we may hit one for their birthday because we can't go to everybody's birthday. You know, what vacation are you or her and I going to take? We have two great friends, what are we all going to do together one time? So it's about embracing and knowing that, you know, you can't put things off anymore. You have to be intentional. You have to be direct. You have to be focused. You have to be driven. And you can't wait anymore. It's not going to happen. You got to be, I like to say the word intentional. You got to be intentional and understand that tomorrow's not promised.
So your wife, you and your wife, in the business of running your family, you sit down strategically, yearly and quarterly, to reassess the direction and the goals for your business of a family. I really want people to understand how powerful that process and that practice is, because we do that for our lives, our careers, our education. We do all of that for, you know, if we're in a job, every once in a while, we'll brush off that resume, reassess it, see if we need to update it, you know, if we're going to go out there and find another job. How often do we go back to our household and sit down and intentionally with our family say, let's plan and strategize the year? Where have you been? You should have been one of the first guests, kind sir.
It's made a difference. All I can tell everybody, it makes a huge difference. There's direction. There's planning. There's purpose. I mean, we get up knowing we have a calendar that we have that we jot down how many days it is till we get to leave. How many days, we know, right? Hypothetically, we're going in February 13th. We're taking a trip. You know, so we've been strategizing when we're going to do, how everything is going to go, who's going to keep the dogs. I mean, all of these things are outlined and planned. So you get a chance to enjoy life. You get a chance to enjoy your vacation, enjoy, regroup, recharge, re-energize, and just have fun. Just have fun. I would tell everybody, life is too short not to have fun. And everybody has the capability to do it in their own capacity. It doesn't take a lot of money. And I'm going to tell you, we've had some trips to where we hiking We've gone hiking. You know, had the best. That was a planned trip. Next week. No, I'm close to Virginia. So we can drive to Virginia, go to the caverns for, you know, three, four hours away, come right back and had the best time of our life. So it doesn't have to cost a lot of money. It's about that memory. It's about building a memory. It's about sharing an experience. That's what life's about. So make it happen, everybody. Make it happen.
All right. Before we exit out, I want to thank my guest, Mark Smith, for sharing his lessons with us today. Mark, tell us, where can we find you? Tell us about the podcast, please. But
thank you. The podcast can be heard on any of the platforms. It's iHeartRadio. It's called Mark Smith, The Process. Any of the Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple, Amazon, you can hear it all there. I have a radio show. My radio show is entitled The Process. It's carried by Star 107 FM, which is in Columbus, Ohio, every Saturday, 10 o'clock Eastern time. I also am heard on Legend 107 Radio out of Tampa, Florida on Mondays at 9 a.m., as well as WGLRO in Houston, Texas on Thursdays at 10 a.m. as well. Go to my website, theprocessmarksmith.com. Send me an email. Let me know how we connect. If there's any, take a look and listen to some of those acronyms. You know, we talked about one of the things that we all go through, and that's, I talk about growth, right? Growth for me stands for gradual reminder, obstacles will test hope. That's growth. That's growth. So enjoy the messages, enjoy the acronyms, and but most importantly, give it an opportunity to apply it. Give yourself an opportunity, or as I think both of us agree, give yourself permission. Give yourself permission to apply the things that will be given to you so that you don't have to go through. I implore you, you don't have to wait 40 years like I did. You don't to sleep good. You can sleep good tonight. You can sleep good tomorrow for the rest of your life. Just enjoy your life. Embrace the time that you have and just be good to yourself and your family, those around you.
That's why we call this 10 Lessons Learned. Oh, my goodness. You have been listening to 10 Lessons Learned. This episode is produced by Robert Hossery, supported as always by the Professional Development Forum. Please tell us what you think of today's lessons. You can even email us at podcast@10lessonslearned.com. That's podcast@10lessonslearned.com. Go ahead and hit that like button, subscribe, and turn on the notification bell so you don't miss an episode of the only podcast that makes the world wiser, lesson by lesson. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Diane. I appreciate it.